So, you wake up. You wake up in a room. And every day you wake up in this room, every day, day after day, you wake up, sit up, and the first thing you see is a view out the window. You see this every day as you wake up and sit up. And this is the view. This is hopefully the view. There it is. This is the view. You see that view every day. Day after day. Now after a few weeks, a few months, a few years, what do you think the impact on your mood and your mindset and your way of thinking is going to be seeing that same view day after day, first thing? Okay, what if this was the view? If you woke up to that every day, day after day, week after week, how would that impact your mindset, your way of seeing the world? I think that would be very different. Very different impact. Because what we see, what we set our eyes on makes a difference to how we are, how we feel, even what we do. What we set our eyes on affects who we are and how we approach life as a whole, how we see the world. And of all the things that are important to see, to set our eyes on, today's topic is arguably the most important thing to set our eyes on. Seeing Jesus' work. This is the most important thing you can see. And setting the eyes of your mind on it regularly and intentionally will change you. And will change us all if we do that together. We're in the series on our vision statement. Vision statement, notice. A statement that helps us set our eyes and set our vision. It helps us set where we look so we know where we're going. Our vision statement as a church is hearing Jesus speak, which we looked at last week, seeing Jesus work, which we're looking at today, and sharing Jesus' love, which will be next week. So today, seeing Jesus work, setting our eyes firmly on the work of Jesus. And we're going to set our eyes on that together today. And that's good in itself. And I'm also praying that it'll set momentum for us to continue setting our eyes on Jesus' work individually and together. And we're going to set our eyes on Jesus' work in two parts. And there's a little outline in the welcome sheets if that's helpful, just with the two headings and the sub-parts. The first is Jesus' work, the cross and resurrection, which we'll dwell on a bit longer. And then secondly, Jesus' work, us, which we'll look at more briefly. So firstly, Jesus' work, the cross and resurrection. Jesus' work, the cross and resurrection. If we look at the whole Bible, we see Jesus' work in all kinds of ways. All creation is made through him. That's his work. Miracles and healings are called his work in Matthew chapter 11. Judgment is said to be his work, his strange work, as it's called in Isaiah. All these things are Jesus' work. But above all, and most importantly, we see Jesus' work, his crowning central work, when we look at his cross and his resurrection. There we see Jesus' work above all. There's a wonderful summary of this in that first reading we had that Grace read for us from Luke chapter 24. It's page 1061, as I said. Luke chapter 24. At this point in Luke's story, it's late on the first Easter Sunday. The disciples are gathered together, and Jesus, whom they knew had died, is standing there amongst them alive. And they're astonished. They took some convincing that this was the case. But they were convinced. And Jesus has something absolutely vital to tell them. Those of you who were at the FCA conference a couple of weeks ago would have heard Bishop Richard Condy say that these words in Luke chapter 24, the words of Jesus here we're looking at, have long been regarded a kind of key summary of the gospel. People like the reformers saw it that way. Because Jesus is summing up the absolute heart of his message and what will be the beating heart of the church that he is establishing. He introduces it in verse 44. Have a look, he says, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of prophets, law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So everything must be fulfilled, he says. He's reminding them of what he told them that had to happen. He told them what must happen, what's necessary, what was the work he had to do. If it was homework in our household, because of what comes home from school, it would be called his must-dos. Not his can-dos, the things you can do if you want, but his must-dos, the thing he must do. This is his must-dos, slightly more important than maths, I know, but this is his must-dos from the part of the Bible that we call the Old Testament. That's what it's talking about when it says the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is what he must do. This is his work. And what was it? Well, it's there in verse 46. Verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." That's the work Jesus had to do. The central work of God's plan for the world, God's must do. It's in two parts. First, the cross. The Messiah, as it says there, God's King, the Messiah, will suffer. Suffer. He was going to die, but not just die, he would suffer an agonizing death. Crucifixion is one of the most agonizing ways humanity has ever devised to kill a person. And we've devised a few. This is one of the most agonizing. A person will slowly die of asphyxiation as their arms and legs can no longer support the weight of their body, and the weight of their own body suffocates them. And in Jesus' case, that weight was pulling on the nails that were in his hands as well. But more than that, more than just this physical suffering, Jesus had the agony of betrayal upon him. He was hanging on that cross because he had been betrayed by one of his closest friends. And he knew that. And he knew his other closest friends had deserted him. He had the agony of betrayal weighing upon him. And more than that, it wasn't just the physical weight of suffering and the weight of betrayal upon him. He had the spiritual weight of all the sin and evil of the world upon his shoulders as he suffered there. And it was his work to suffer like that. It's what had to be done. Why? Why was it what he had to do? Well, we see from here and from the rest of the scriptures that it's because it was our sin and betrayal weighing upon him. He took the weight of it upon him so that we don't have to. You see, God couldn't just ignore sin and evil in the world, the evil that we've done. Because to ignore evil and injustice is itself evil. To ignore evil and injustice is evil. And God doesn't do evil. He's not in the evil business. It's against his nature. So he had to do something about sin and evil. So listen to this wonderful summary that brings it together from a scholar called Charles Cranfield. It is a bit dense, but it is very rich, like good fruitcake. So take it in. God, because in his mercy he willed to forgive sinful men and women, and being truly merciful, willed to forgive them righteously, that is, without in any way condoning their sin, he purposed to redirect against his own very self in the person of his Son the full weight of that righteous wrath which they deserved. See that? To direct this wrath against his very self. This is the terrible and wonderful work of Jesus, dying to take the weight of our sin upon himself as the Son of God, so that God could have mercy without ignoring or condoning evil. This is the wonderful work of Jesus. But that's not the end of his central work. Something else had to happen as well. The resurrection. We're back to Luke 24 verse 46. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. So that's the other wonderful part of his work. That he'd not only lay his life down, but he would take it up again. And in doing that, he gives us life and hope. Because death is defeated. Death does not get the last word. Death seems to get the last word, doesn't it? If we're honest. Death is the last thing every person in this room will experience in this life. Death. And the person who lives the happiest or richest or most loving or just most good life will still die. But the Messiah had to rise from the dead. And he did. So death doesn't win. We, in fact, can look death in the eye, and with the great Christian poet John Donne, we can say, "Death, thou shalt die." I love that. And I love it because it's true. And it's true because Jesus rose, that death itself will die. It will not have the last word. But even more than that, because Jesus is risen, we know that after we die, we can be confident of what is waiting for us. Jesus rose, so our forgiveness is assured. God raised him from death, which assures us that our sin and evil was dealt with at the cross. That he did bear the weight of sin instead of us. That the cross worked. That it is finished. In him, we're forgiven and accepted by God. And we know it because God raised him from the dead and said, "Yes, it is done." That is the wonderful work of Christ. The work he had to do and the work that he did do. The cross and the resurrection. The Messiah suffering and rising again on the third day. So the question is, do you see it? Do you see it? Are you awake to what God has done? Are your eyes open to it? It's quite possible to have Jesus' work in front of you and not really see it. I'm sure this doesn't happen to any of you, but I often look for things. Particularly, I might be looking for something in the kitchen where there's a lot of things. And I'm having some trouble, and so I ask my wife, Sarah, "Where's this thing?" And she'll say, "Oh, first drawer on the right." And I said, no, I looked in there. And she'll usually say, "I'll just have a look." And what do you know? It was in front of my face, but I didn't see it. Do you see Jesus' work? It's in front of your face. Do you see it? Do you see how massive it is? Do you see what Jesus did? Do you see whose work it was? That the one hanging there on the cross was this one. The one through whom the universe was created. The hands that flung stars into space were the ones that were to cruel nails surrendered. The wonder of this is going to be picked up in the song that we'll sing next. When I survey the wondrous cross in a little while. Especially, I think, it's kind of in all the verses. I heard it this morning and remembered again, it's in all of them. But notice particularly in verse 4 of this song. It's an old verse, we don't always sing it, but it's actually one of the original verses. Verse 4 of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross comes from Galatians chapter 6, where Paul's speaking of seeing the Lord of the universe hanging on the cross. And that makes everything else seem to shrink into insignificance. The verse of the song goes like this. His dying crimson like a robe spread over his body on the tree. And I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. See, when you see that Lord covered in his dying crimson, the blood of his death, and you realize it was there for you, he bled for you, nothing compares to that. Do you see it? And do you see the resurrection? The fact that the very world we live in is the world where a man has been raised from the dead. Jesus was raised, so we live in a world where a resurrection has happened. So this world is now different to what it was before. It is not a place of hopelessness. It is a place where real hope is. Do you see it? Do you see that the work of Jesus was for you and that you need it? Not the person next to you. Not that person you're worried about, and, oh, they really need to hear this. No, for you. Do you see the work of Jesus was for you? That his death and his resurrection was what you needed to be forgiven, to save you, to give you true hope. Do you see it? It's easy to miss. It's also easy, if we've been seeing it for a long time, to lose the wonder of it. Like if we woke up to that beautiful view of the mountains that we had up there before, if you woke up to it every day, for a start it'd be wonderful. And then after a long time, it might just be, oh, that's nice. And then maybe after a bit longer, you're just not even looking at it. You're moving on to look at where's your breakfast. Well, Jesus' work can be a bit like that. We can get too used to it, over familiar. Hearing of the cross, singing of the resurrection, over and over again, Sunday after Sunday, during the week. Yes, I've heard that. Yes, I know that. And you can lose the sense of the wonder. So let me say, whether you've seen it often, or you're now looking at it for the first time today, either way, please see it. Keep seeing it. Focus on it afresh each day. Remind yourself what he did for you. When you wake up, do make it the view that you set in your mind. That the Son of God was on a cross for me. And now he is risen. Don't be satisfied to just look at other things. What you have coming up for the day. The nice things that you'll enjoy that day. The things you might achieve today. The holiday you're looking forward to. The anxieties that are on your heart. They are important things. Some of them are very good things. But set your eyes on something higher and richer and more long-lasting. On the work of Jesus for you. See his work when you're tempted to look only at yourself and your failings or your fears. Like me, you may have failed Jesus in some way. Well, like me, you will have failed Jesus in some way. You may have even done that this week. You may feel like you are not good enough for Jesus. I know from talking to some of you that that is how you feel at times. Like, I just can't even set my mind in the direction of Jesus because he couldn't bear me. If that's you, see that Jesus' work, his death for you, means that he has taken the weight of that sin upon himself, and you are forgiven. And his resurrection confirms it. See it. Or if you're someone who, rightly and understandably, fears death, if that shadow of death hangs over you, sometimes maybe late at night in a big way, sometimes it's just hanging in the background, but it's there. If that's you, see that Jesus has risen. Death will not have the last word over you. If your trust is in him, death cannot have you. Might claim you for a bit, but it will not ultimately have you. Because he is risen. He has done it. As a church, Let us remember as we share communion today. Let us see it. The bread and wine, Dave told us last week, are a visible word showing us Jesus' death for us, showing us that he died that we might live, and that he lives that we might not ultimately die. So see it as we share in the Lord's Supper today. As a church, let's make this our vision. Keep seeing and setting our minds on, helping each other see and focus on the work that Jesus has done. Let's keep each other fixed on that. Let's be careful we don't let ourselves get so caught up in the church politics that are pressing upon us at this particular time, important as the issues are, they are, but not so caught up in them, or not so caught up in the week-to-week running of things that needs to happen, or not so caught up in the things that annoy us a bit and could be a bit different at church, or none of those things. Let us not get so caught up in them that we stop fixing our eyes on what really matters. On the work of Jesus, which is the reason and the foundation for the whole church thing in the first place. If he hadn't died and risen, the whole thing would be a waste of time. So let us not lose our focus on that. Let his work be our vision together. Let's remind each other that this is our vision. That Jesus died and rose for us. See it. Well, that's the heart of Jesus' work, the cross and the resurrection. And there's one other part of Jesus' work I want to focus on, and more briefly now, Jesus' work, us. See, even the magnitude of what we've seen so far doesn't exhaust Jesus' work. In fact, his work then, the cross and resurrection, has a direct and essential connection and a flow on to the work he's still doing now. You see it again in Luke chapter 24. Jesus' work of suffering and rising has an effect. First of all, in verse 47, the message of repentance and forgiveness is to go out to all the nations in Jesus' name because he suffered and rose again. And so this message of this forgiveness we can be assured of, and repentance, turning back to him, is to go out. And with that, empowering that, making it happen, this message going out is going to be ultimately Jesus' work through the Spirit he'll send. See down there in verse 49, he points this way. Jesus tells his disciples to wait until he clothes them with power from on high. And we see, as the story carries on in the book of Acts, that this happens when the Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit helps these disciples who are hearing this, helps them preach that message and works in the people who are hearing the message so they respond to Jesus. They come to trust in him. And by doing that, these people are given the benefits of Jesus' work, the forgiveness of sins and the hope of a life beyond death. And that means that we, people who trust in Jesus, are the work of Jesus' hands. The work of his hands spread out on the cross to save us, and the ongoing work of his hands through the Spirit, bringing people to himself, holding people to himself. We are Jesus' work. That's what the Apostle Paul emphasized in the end of the second reading that we had, which Sally Ray read for us, Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 6 there, the Apostle Paul says, he's confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The one who began this good work will carry it on and he'll finish it. He's not going to leave it unfinished. You might not feel that you are strong enough to keep going in the Christian life with failures and doubts and trials and denominations, all kinds of things. You might not feel you're strong enough, but Jesus will do it. Hold on to him. Keep your eyes on him. Because we are his work. He paid for us dearly. He worked agonizingly hard to win us, more than we'll ever fully understand. So he's not going to give up on us now. His people are his work, and he finishes his work. Do you see it? Looking around the world, do you see it? I often like to think of China, because I think it's extraordinary that I'm alive at the time when things that are happening in China are happening. There is growth in that nation that is unprecedented in history in terms of the Christian gospel. Jesus is working in a way there in numbers that we've never seen. There are well over 20 times the number of Christians in China now than there were 40 years ago. 20 times. Millions and millions. Despite frequent attempts to squash and restrict Christianity by the government there, Jesus just keeps working. Do you see it? Do you see him at work? If you're a follower of Jesus, do you see him at work when you turn from that great big picture in close to yourself? Do you see Jesus at work in you? Sometimes it's hard because we don't see ourselves as clearly as we could sometimes. We often see our own foibles and our own failures a lot. Some of us may need to see those a little bit more. But for many of us, we see them very big, bigger than anything else. We see the problems and our failures and our inadequacies. Sometimes it's worth asking another Christian who knows you well where they can see Jesus at work in you, where they can see Jesus keeping up the work that he started, the work that he'll finish. Do you see it? And looking around this morning, you look around people here, do you see it? Do you see Jesus working here in this church amongst his people? I do. I see the results of Jesus' work of calling people, of opening eyes to see what he's done for them, like he did for those disciples, of changing hearts so that people are seeking to live in faithfulness to him. I see his work moving people to extraordinary generosity and kindness and to looking outside themselves and their own often very difficult situations to those of others, that they might care for them because Jesus has cared for them. Do you see it? I see it. I see people forgiving others for when they've been hurt. I see people apologizing when they've done wrong. I see Jesus at work. Do you see it? Please see it. Have your eyes open to what Jesus is doing. Because every person who turns to Jesus is a miracle. He's working by a spirit at that point. Every person, every time you say no to sin, every time you say no to that sin that you want to do, that's a miracle. Jesus' spirit is at work in you. And when you admit that you have sinned, you have done wrong, your attitude has been wrong, and then you repent, you turn from that and you say, no, that wasn't right, and maybe you apologize to someone you've hurt, that is a miracle. So see it. See it going on. If your trust is in Jesus Christ, then he is at work in you. Be encouraged, and he will finish what he has started. And be encouraged that he is at work in us, calling out people to himself, inviting all to come to him and be part of this great work, this message going out to the ends of the earth, even right here in South Christchurch. See it. Praise Jesus for what you see him doing in those around you and give him the glory for that, and may even let others know that you are praising Jesus for what you've seen him do in them. Because it's his work. We are his work. Set your eyes then on Jesus' work. The cross and resurrection, his wonderful work, his saving work, and its ongoing work in his people. Set your eyes on Jesus' work. See Jesus' work.